How are we? You okay? You tired? Great, I'm tired as well, so don't worry, you're not on your own. Has God been speaking to some of us or all of us? Are you sure He's been speaking to you? Have you been listening? So we've been on this journey together for obviously we've done two sessions. This is our third session. The initial session we were looking at God's love for us. Yesterday is our first response to Him to love Him back. But today our focus is you, myself, us. So if you just tap your chest gently and ask God, God, will you speak to me today? Ask God, will you speak to me today? And will you help me to listen? Lord, we thank you because we know you're here. And I know we might be feeling very tired, but we believe that you can excite us, you can make us happy about what you've done for us, and we just pray that as we listen to you tonight that your power will be felt in this place. We just pray that your presence will be so powerful in this place that God, you'll be breaking walls down but also giving us freedom that we haven't experienced before. And I just pray that none of us will be distracted by anything, but that God, you can help us to focus on you and also focus on ourselves to see where we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to encourage us to be responding. I love, because of my background, we love interacting with the people who are listening. So when I say praise God, we're going to change it a little bit today. You're going to say hallelujah. Is that okay? And then I'll say hallelujah and you say amen. Is that okay? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We thank God for everything that He's given us. So we're going to start with a bit of catching up about yesterday, looking at loving God back. And it's that conscious, intentional choice to love God above all else. It is asking ourselves to be like David. The scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. He was so passionately following God and His ways. Despite the struggles and the shortcomings that David was going through, he was after God's own heart. He was full of issues in his family life. He had issues in his leadership, but he still loved God and he pursued Him. We thank God for those who accepted His call yesterday. I'm really grateful that people were courageous enough to say, I want to make God my driver, the driver of my life. And as we were calling that yesterday, my operating system. I want Him to be the key person who makes me do what I do and helps me and guides me and guides my attitude and my lifestyle and my behavior and my character and all that I do. And this decision that they made introduces them to a new understanding of their Creator. Because God, when we say yes to Him, He allows us to see some new light. What Stormzy calls blinding grace. It's so amazing. It's so bright. It's so powerful. But in its powerfulness, it causes us to feel like we are being blinded. But it's the blindness that is because of the nature of the light of God. So when we accept God in our lives, He shines that new light. And there is a perfection that comes with it. In Ephesians, Paul says, we are given a seal, like we are marked. And God says, this is my one and only person. This is someone who I claim. This is mine. And that is an eternal seal. And we'll be seeing later on in Romans chapter 8, Paul saying, nothing can separate me from this person. So God marks you and says, this is my person. This is my child. This belongs to me. The devil has no place in their life. My assurance to you and to each of you that God is lifting the burdens is that his love endures forever. And even though we may fall back to where he has lifted us from temporarily, every time we go back to him, we find open arms ready to receive us back. And that is what it means when he says his love endures forever, is that he will never turn you back. He will never do that. The Bible says that God is love. That is his nature. And he cannot be anything less than that. Such that if we fall back, we go back to him, he receives us back. We fall back again, we go back to him, he receives us back. And that is what marked David's life. He had lots of trials and tribulations and temptations. But he went back after God's own heart. Because his love endures forever. We must be reminded of that. And I said, the Spirit of God doesn't bring condemnation to us. If you feel condemned because of the sin that you might be bearing, that is not the Spirit of God. That is not the Spirit of God. His work is to help us to be convinced that God's love is so amazing and so big so we can turn back to him. So in loving God with our all, we are reminded that seeking after him becomes the main business of a Christian. Our true love for God means true discipleship. So on one side we know the very famous Bible verse, John 3:16, it says, what does it say? And what did he do after loving the world? Say it slowly. Yeah? So in God expressing that love, part of it was Jesus to carry the cross up the hill of Calvary. But on the other side of that verse is the call that God has on each of us to love him back. We have that call on us. We hear, for man so must love God that he gives up everything to follow him and takes up his cross every day or daily. That is his call for us. He doesn't put that as a condition. That is not our password to access his love. That is when you're inside his love, that is how you live. Our password to access his love is what God has done and what Jesus has done. We are allowed into the system. We can access everything in there. But when we are in there, we have to be willing to carry the cross. We have to be willing to live as though we are God's children. We have to give up everything or give our heart, our mind, and our soul to him. It is not a sort of a random thing because we are not God. We have to do it daily. We have to be reminded this every day. A guy called Zig Ziglar, he's got a really good name, he said, when we listen to such talks, we get motivation. But he said, motivation gets you going. Habit gets you there. Motivation gets you going, but habit gets you there. So here we do Lenten. I've been here several of the Lentens, lots of them. And we get very encouraged, inspired, challenged, and motivated. And we get taught. But this gets you going. But it's when you embrace the habit of Christian lifestyle that you will get there into the fullness of what God wants. So do not just carry the motivation and then live without anything. But may the habits of Christian lifestyle keep you going. We're going to read Psalm 9. It's the easiest book to find because if you go right in the middle of the Bible, it's there, and then you can work your way around it. Psalm 9. If you're not there, say amen. If you haven't found it, say amen. Right, you don't have to worry. I'll read it for us because of time. And this is what David says. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell you of your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. My enemies stand back, they stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right hand, my right and my cause. You have sat on your throne, judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations, and you have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. For he who avenges blood remembers, he does not ignore the cry of the afflicted. And this is David focusing on his life and what God has done. And he's saying all he has for him is praise. So as we move on now from loving God, I'm not saying that we stop doing that. But as we start focusing on ourselves, we must remember that God is asking for everything. You must hand everything to him. He will hand it back to you in the right order and in the right way. He doesn't ask for our life so that he can keep it. He asks for it so that he can perfect it, and then we can live best. So we start looking on loving self. Is that conscious, intentional choice to love our new self? This is very important that we know that this is our new self, the self that we are in Christ. So the greatest commandment is not complete. Even though the foundation of it is the love of God for us, that is the place of his love, the love that he wants you to have on yourself. So when we come to the question of loving ourselves, we are starting to get very close home, very close. Because that's the line that gets forgotten a lot when that Bible verse is read. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So we start to think of who we are. And who are we? We are created in God's image. In his image we are created. Each of us bears his image. When he did all the other creatures, when he made them in different days of the week, on the sixth day, he created one like himself. So we are bearers of his image. That is who we are. But again, there is another bit, which is whose we are. We are the children of God. We must be reminded of that. We start to ask us the question of what are we on earth for? What's our aim? What's our mission and purpose? And how should we live our lives as individuals? Should that matter at all now that God has saved us and he has called us his own? Does it matter how we live our life? And what is the ultimate source of our hope? Yesterday, today, and forever. This is an ongoing question that we have to ask ourselves. And how do we see ourselves in the light of the love we have received from God? Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. We did a bit of Romans chapter 8 yesterday, but I'm just going to read a few verses. Don't worry if you can't get there in time. It's fine. You can have a look at it later on. It is Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17. So we are looking at ourselves, those who have accepted Christ. This is what Paul says. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. So this is Paul's encouragement to us to know who we are. I'm getting very hot up here. I might need your glass of water, Matt. Please, my brother. He did it for one evening and then he forgot. So we're living in times when people are only so very self-centered. And they turn it into pride. This is the situation we're living in today. And I'm only saying this so that I clarify that I'm not talking about us loving ourselves in the world way of loving ourselves. People are in love with themselves. They seek to fulfill every whim and every desire, every ambition, every dream and every hope. They seek to be everything that they can be, who seek to set value on all that they are, and all that they say, and all that they do, only within their will and not that of God. That is not the self, the sort of loving of self that we'll be focusing on. It is not the me, myself, and I attitude. If you leave this place feeling like I have encouraged you to be very proud of you and yourself and the I, that would not be a very good thing. I want us to look at the self that God has remade us to be. But before we get to that, we have to allow the Spirit of God to break some walls that surround our self-identity. Earlier on, I love the rap that was there, was playing earlier on. But when we have to think about breaking walls, we cannot break walls that we haven't named. If you own a building or a farm and you need some walls breaking down, you have to tell the builders very clearly which walls you want breaking down. And so in the next few minutes, I'm just going to name some of these walls very briefly so that we know what we are asking God to break in our lives. So these are things that blind us. These are things that affect our identity. The first one is Satan and his ways. We must be reminded that because of what Adam and Eve did, we still carry their DNA. We carry the DNA of the fall. And Satan likes to use that. He likes to play on our human nature. He likes to play on our flesh. He likes to push that button and say, you still have the flesh. You still live in the world. So we must be aware of him. And we must know that we are living at the aftermath of the fall. We live after Genesis 3. And that affects our identity. And that has to be dealt with at the cross. The other thing we have is a fake eyesight. The eye attitude. And this can be both extremes. There are those who are filled with self-confidence and the world revolves around them. And there is the other extreme of those who have self-loathing feelings, those who feel that they are nothing. It is both extremes, and none of that is right. There are those who say, I am not good enough. And there are those who say, I am too good. Self-elevation and self-depreciation, they are equally inaccurate. And where is the truth in all these? We must be reminded, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. You are allowed to say that, but you have to finish that statement. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It is that you're not being denied the ability to do all things. But you have to do that within the right context, within the love of Christ. The next thing that is a big wall that needs to be brought down is living according to flesh. We had a look at 1 John earlier and the things of the world and how sweet they may seem. But they are very temporary, and we have to give up the desires of the flesh. If you get time, have a look at the seven deadly sins. They always work on the flesh. Just to mention a few of these is selfishness, greed, gluttony, lust, and anger. These ones play on our flesh. Anger is not from God. Unless it's the holy anger that He gives us so that we can be angry against the injustices of the world. But that still has to come down. We have those who hate themselves and they hate others in their actions. Others is just like in their thoughts. They look at someone and they feel like, I hate that person. They haven't done anything wrong. But inside your head, you just assume that they're not the right people. Our hate for others can be expressed in our inaction, not doing anything when we can do something. Sometimes we have a bitter feelings and bitterness in our hearts. And vengeance, the Bible says, vengeance is God's. Allow Him to revenge for you. It is a natural way. It's the flesh desire to revenge. That is not from God. If Jesus was allowed to revenge, He would have been the best at that. But He didn't consider that. There is brokenness that we face in our lives because of the situations we find ourselves in. And some of us might be hurting inside. And that destroys this self that God wants us to love. That is fake news, lies. And Jesus was also a victim of fake news when He went to the desert. And Satan visits Him and tries to lie to Him. A few chapters before that, He has been baptized by John the Baptist. And God opens the heavens and declares, "This is My Son with whom I am pleased." And that is how it might feel to some of us. God makes that declaration, "You are My child." And then Satan comes and asks you, "Are you sure that He said that?" He brings you fake news. He tries to use you and draw you into the world. There is the fear of failure. We should use failure as a learning point, not a dead end. Think about Moses. How many times did he do those plagues? And he went back. He went back again and again and again and again. Some of us give up too early. That is fear. The Bible says, I think about 366 times. Do not be afraid. One for each day a year. And a bonus one. So fear is one thing that cripples our identity. There is the fear of not being okay. There is this famous saying that it's okay not to be okay. But I think the same author added that it's not okay to stay not okay. It is good to seek for help. And Jesus is there to give us help. There is frustrations of life, the circumstances we find ourselves in, abuse, our family situations, loss and loneliness. There is suffering. It's a big one. But I said to you yesterday, sometimes when we pray to God to airlift us, what does He do? He gets into a parachute, joins us, and stays with us in our suffering, identifies with us. The labels that people give us. I don't know how many of us have been labeled because of one mistake they did, and that becomes part of their identity. Food. It is not the physical food I'm talking about here. It is what we allow in our moral and spiritual diet. Sometimes we overindulge. We are caught up in addictions, pride. It is where we put our eyes. What do we watch when no one is watching? What do we listen to? How is that affecting our lives? And the final one of this is, who do we follow? Someone said, show me your Instagram. What's the opposite of followers? Let's call them followings. And I'll tell you what diet you're on. Sometimes it's good to have a look at the people you follow and see the influence they're having on you. I have in my spiritual growth unfollowed some people because of things that they share. But equally, we have to know that we are following Christ. And it's a costly call. So these fears, these walls, they bring the challenge of identity. And Henry Nouwen says that people think of their identity in five ways. Some people think that they are what they have. A nice pair of shoes can make someone feel proud. A nice phone, a nice car. Other people think that I'm what I do, so they give up everything to be the best in their achievements. And other people say they are what other people think or say. And most of the time, it's not good stuff that people say to us. Other people think I am nothing more than my worst moment. I am nothing less than my best moment. And I added a sixth one. I haven't got a constant identity, but I'm like a flowing person. So if I'm feeling okay today, that's my identity. But we must go back to what Jesus says to us, that we are the children of God. We must come to a place of repentance and give up that struggle. Jesus says, I came for the sinners. I came for the sick. I came for those who are willing to say, I have gotten it wrong, but I'm willing to change. So all of these things are mentioned. He says, I've come so that I can deal with all of this. He knows your fears. He knows mine as well. He knows our secrets. He knows our shame, our struggles, our weaknesses. He knows our pride. He knows our strengths. He knows our gifts. He knows our pain. He knows everything about us. Read Psalm 139. And you'll be amazed at how much he knows. But he wants to walk alongside us. He wants to help us. He wants us to be his friend. He wants to guide us. He's one who identifies with us. He's a willing physician. He's a caring friend. Indeed, Jesus says he is our Father. He allows us to share his dad with us. How amazing is that? To some of us, this is a new dawn as we deal with our old identity. It is this bright light. Some of us are like, if the day is there, the dawn has arrived and the brightness outside is so much. Sometimes you can shut the curtains and say, I'm just going to stay in the dark. But some of us, God is already opening the curtains. He's shedding some light inside. But there is a bit of resistance. He wants to light all of his light into you. But he is a gentleman. Jesus doesn't force his way into you. He seeks your permission. Because he wants this to be a mutual journey. He wants your cooperation. Will you allow his light to fully shine in you? Or will you just be settled for simple beams of light? So the love that we are talking about primarily is losing ourselves, losing that old self, so that we can gain everything back in a perfect way. For if we submit our all, we stop scraping together self-worth from broken, sinful pieces. We stop trying to put these pieces together, and we allow Jesus' love to shed his light into our lives. We allow him in. And we give up trying. One of the good things Craig Rochelle says is that you may never have all the control, but you know what? You're very much in a position to give up, to surrender everything to God. You can be able to give up everything, to surrender all of these struggles. So we have to look at the right side. We were looking at the flip side, the things that are walls that need to be brought down. We must be reminded that Jesus paid it all on the cross. All the things we were listing before, on the cross, they were nailed there. Each of them, he nailed them on the cross. Whether it's the fake news, the lies, whether it's our failure, whether it's our fear, whether it's our frustrations, whether it's these labels that people have given us, he nailed all of them on the cross. we must be reminded that he paid every debt apart from one, which is that we may love him back and love our neighbors. That's the only debt that he left us. But he paid every other debt. So think of those things that are crippling your identity. Anything, name it in your mind. But be aware that even that has been nailed on the cross. Jesus has dealt with it. We must be reminded that we have been saved by the grace, not deeds. I told you how I came to faith. I wasn't saved from a list of sins, of murdering, or being in drinking, or drugs, or anything. But I was saved from self-righteousness. I was trying to save myself. And I couldn't reach high enough. There is an old hymn that says, there is one line that says, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. If I had everything that I could ever have, even that could not save me." So we must remember that we have been saved by grace. And this is accessible to all of us. And if you still have your hand on Romans chapter 8, we are reminded that this is really key for us to hear, that nothing can separate us. So Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. I'll read that quickly. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us. And Paul is not saying this as though he hasn't been through it. I watched a film called Paul the Apostle of Christ. A very powerful film for one who wants to grow in their discipleship. And most of us will know that Paul was persecuted for his faith. He was imprisoned so many times. So he's saying this as someone who has been through it. He's not imagining this. He has been through it. He has died for his faith. So we must be reminded that nothing can separate us from the love of God, even our suffering. And if we are reminded that, then we have to love our new self and keep going. We must allow our minds to be transformed constantly. I said earlier, we can fall back, but when we go back to him, he receives us with open arms. But he reminds us that we must be constantly receive this transformation of our mind. We must be aware that we are never alone. And one of the amazing things that Jesus allows us to do is he allows us to share his Father with us. He allows us to be able to call God our Father. But he also allows us to share his inheritance. So this person that God is challenging you to love, he has given that person everything. The you, he has given you everything. He has assured you that you are a child of God. You're not self-secure. It is not yourself who has secured it. You're not insecure, but you are God secure. It is not your own security. It is not your insecurity as well, but it is the God security that we have in Christ. And we must know best to worship him and him alone. Tom Wright says, one of the most basic laws of spiritual life is that you become like what you worship. Isn't that amazing? We are worshiping the true God in Christ Jesus. We continually are becoming like him. That's really amazing. We become like what we worship. And I said yesterday, we either worship the Creator or worship the creation. And the final one is we have to cultivate a spiritual discipline. As we love ourselves, we have to learn the spiritual disciplines of life. We know our lives have meaning and purposes because we are God's children. So if we are holding on to the wrong strand of hope, if we are looking at one of the walls that we mentioned earlier, and that's becoming our main obstacle, we have to come to a time of responding. I don't know what's in the way of your identity. I don't know what's stopping you from loving yourself. Is it what people have said? Is it your passion and pursuit for success which you think might be able to help you? I must remind us that the only hope that is eternal is found in Christ. Everything else is temporary. Everything else is temporary. It's like you, if you've got step ladders and you want to climb up high, there is only one ladder that can give you the perfect image, the perfect way that God wants you to go. And that is the ladder that Christ gives to us. In Christ, we are God's children. And God challenges you and I to love this one that he has loved with his all. I mean, he's asking you to love yourself because he knows that you need that perfect love. There's going to be some time for prayer for us to be able to surrender that which has been holding us back. For us to be able to forgive those who have hurt us or those whom we've hurt. For us to be able to reach that place of saying, I am actually who he says I am. And to believe that what God says you are, his child, it is true. My prayer is that as we think of all this, we remember Jesus when he was being baptized. God said, this is my son with whom I am pleased. So my prayer is that God will help you to hear him say to you, this is my son, this is my daughter with whom I am pleased. And he doesn't just say that, he's paid the price. Let's be on our feet. Let's stand.